Hello, this is your Midnight Marauder program. I'm on the front of your cover. I will be enhancing your cassettes and CDs with certain facts that you may find beneficial. The average bounce meter for your Midnight Marauder program will be in the area of 95 BPM. We hope that you will find our presentation precise, bass-heavy, and just right. Thanks.
Hi, it's Shannon,
Emily,
and Hannah,
and you're listening to
90.7
FM
WGXC
ACRA.
Network, this is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network.
I'm Tom Rowe in Acre, and you've tuned into the WGXC Morning Show. And today we will hear from Renee Powell, branch president in Troy of the NAACP, talking about recognizing and responding to hate crimes workshop they're having online tonight at 6:30 p.m. We'll also hear the national headlines from the Public News Service and the local Better Weather from the Catskill Maker Syndicate, plus radio news about Terry Gross winning an award on the WGXC Morning Show. It all starts after the local news. Stay tuned.
This is the network, network, on air, in air, waves, controlled, on air, in air, channel, connection, and the moon turns to blood, a stream runs through, this is the network, network, this is the news, this is the network, this is the news, this is the network, network, this is the news, this is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network. And the moon turns to blood. A stream runs through. And the moon turns to blood. This is the network. Network. And the moon turns to blood. A stream runs through. And the moon turns to blood. This is the network. Network. This is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network.
On June 17th, three bands come to Tubby's in Kingston. First E, the trio of Jason Sidney Sanford, Thalia Zedek, and Gavin McCarthy play rock music. Alive Skull, the renowned 1980s post-punk experimental rock band, is back together and are playing on this show with Upper Wilds, who record for Thrill Jockey and feature multi-instrumentalist songwriter Dan Friel, who's best known for his work in the band Parts and Labor. E, Live Skull, and Upper Wilds play at Tubby's in Kingston June 17th, and you can find out more about this show and many others on the WGXC community calendar online at wgxc.org.
Wave Farm programs are made possible in part by the New York State Council on the Arts, with the support of the New York State Legislature, the National Endowment for the Arts, the Andy Warhol Foundation for the Visual Arts, the Greene County Legislature through the County Initiative Program, administered in Greene County by CREATE, the Alexander and Marjorie Hoover Foundation, the T. Backer Fund, the Joseph Family Charitable Trust, and hundreds of other generous individual donors, including WGXC's sustaining supporters, who provide critical monthly support to Wave Farm's radio station, WGXC 90.7 FM. Thank you.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Fridman Gallery in New York, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin.
Stay tuned to this station.
Stand by for news.
Direct via satellite from our on-the-spot task force.
Good evening from our newsroom in New York.
This is
Daily News and Weather Report.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update.
I'm Philip Grant.
This is Tom Rowe. You can go to the newsroom at WGXC.org for more information about anything you hear here. Luke Parsnow is reporting for Spectrum News that Antonio Delgado was sworn in as lieutenant governor on May 25th, becoming Governor Kathy Hochul's second in command and the state's third lieutenant governor in less than a year. The former Democratic congressman replaces Brian Benjamin, who resigned in April following his indictment on bribery and fraud charges. Delgado was selected by Hochul to fill the vacancy earlier this month. Quote, "We have enough politicians, we really do. What we need are more public servants," unquote, Delgado said, adding that the work he's done in Congress, quote, "is work of unity," unquote. Delgado was born in Schenectady, attended Colgate University, and eventually graduated from Harvard Law School. He leaves the 19th Congressional District in the U.S. House of Representatives without representation. Quote, "I am incredibly humbled, beyond words, and truly grateful to be your partner, Governor Hochul, and every New Yorker around this journey," unquote, Delgado said. Going forward, Delgado will face two opponents in the Democratic primary for lieutenant governor less than a month from now. He's running against activist Anne Maria Arquilla and New York City council member Diana Reyna. Hochul is also looking to prevail in her primary contest over former New York City public advocate Jumaane Williams and U.S. Representative Tom Suozzi. Candidates for governor and lieutenant governor run separately in primary elections, which will be held June 28th. Meanwhile, in August, Ulster County Executive Pat Ryan, a Democrat, faces Dutchess County Executive Mark Molinaro, a Republican, to fill out the rest of Delgado's term. Read more about the story at NewYorkStateOfPolitics.com.
Joshua Solomon reports in the Times Union that after two recent mass shootings targeting black grocery shoppers in Buffalo and elementary school children in Texas, Governor Kathy Hochul is not proposing to ban sales of AR-15 semi-automatic weapons in New York, but she does want to limit sales to those 21 years and above. Hochul said from the New York State Intelligence Center in Rensselaer County, where she attended a meeting of the Interstate Flow of Illegal Guns, and I quote, "How does an 18-year-old purchase an AR-15 in the state of New York? That person is not old enough to buy a legal drink. I want to work with the legislature to change that," end quote. The federal assault weapons ban restricted the sale of the AR-15 in the United States from 1994 to 2004. But since they are legal in this country and the number of deaths from mass shooting has skyrocketed in the United States, both of the shooters in Buffalo and Texas were 18 years old. Mike Murphy, a spokesperson for the state Senate Majority Leader's office, said about raising the legal age for purchasing the military-style weapons, and I quote, "This is something we have been discussing, and we have always been supportive of this idea, and would certainly be in favor of moving forward," end quote. But the language of such a bill will need to be carefully written, as in March, a federal court deemed California's ban on people under 21 buying semi-automatic weapons unconstitutional. Hochul suggested that New York lawmakers may also take other steps to address the numerous mass shootings. Hochul said, and I quote, "We will do more, and I will not sleep at night until I know that everything has been done humanly possible to protect New Yorkers and to help them heal," end quote. Read more about this story in the Times Union.
Larry Parnas is reporting for the Berkshire Eagle that school officials in Pittsfield, Massachusetts, have announced they will postpone drills previously scheduled to take place this week to help students and staff prepare to respond to violent intruders. The decision was made, quote, "out of respect to the lives lost," unquote, in the school shooting in Uvalde, Texas on May 24th. Superintendent Joseph Curtis said drills had been planned for four city schools as part of ongoing safety training and will now be moved to early June. Quote, "Today's horrific tragedy in Uvalde, Texas provides a stunning reminder to all of us on how precious life is and how deeply troubled members of our society are," unquote, Curtis wrote in the message sent to the school community hours after the shooting. The school department is making counselors available to students who are having traumatic reactions to news of the Texas shootings. In that incident, 19 children and two teachers were killed by an 18-year-old man who entered an elementary school. Curtis urged parents and guardians to monitor their children's exposure to news coverage of the attack, as well as their online activity, and to be alert to signs that they may be overwhelmed by feelings of grief, panic, or sadness. The message offered updates on steps the city is taking to protect the schools from intruders, including the drills held recently. The schools have been investing in technology that promotes communication. Curtis cited new security systems that include cameras able to instantly alert police and school department leaders to emergencies. The superintendent said that every educator and administrator is equipped with a radio that enables them to communicate the presence of threats. Read more about the story in the Berkshire Eagle.
Nick Reisman reports for New York State of Politics that state police troopers are being sent to New York schools from now until the end of the year to conduct daily check-ins after an 18-year-old murdered 19 children and two adults at a Texas elementary school on May 24th. The next day, Governor Kathy Hochul announced the police visits to schools. Hochul said, and I quote, "I want parents who have enough to worry about in their daily lives, the cost of gas at the pump, the cost of groceries, maybe putting aside money, they have enough to worry about. Let them know the state police and local law enforcement are there to protect them," end quote. But parents may worry if they read the news about the Texas shooting because a school resource officer was at the school but failed to stop the murderous rampage. Andy Pallotta, the president of the New York State United Teachers Labor Organization, said, and I quote, "What will it take to put a stop to these hateful, sickening acts of violence? Our schools must be a safe place for all. As we mourn those who have lost their lives, we must also stand up and demand better for our children, for parents, for educators, and for communities across the nation," end quote. Read more about this story at New York State of Politics.
The Hudson Catskill Housing Coalition has announced that Bliss Towers residents in Hudson will officially receive the $65,000 in back rent owed over the pandemic on May 27th. The donation was made by an anonymous donor through the coalition. Quentin Cross and Claire Cousin will deliver a ceremonial check to the residents in front of Bliss Towers at 41 North 2nd Street at 2:30 p.m. Claire Cousin, Coalition Executive Director, said in a statement, quote, "People deserve support with no questions asked. We know that the pandemic created brand new and unconventional barriers in our community. We want to see people happy and housed. That was our goal, and it is a blessing to provide this opportunity of relief to our community," unquote. Following the announcement on May 27th, there will be a cookout and activities for Bliss residents and members of the community.
On Twitter, May 24th, after an 18-year-old murdered 19 children and two adults at an elementary school, local politicians offered fewer, and I quote, "thoughts and prayers," end quote, than at most mass shootings, and instead offered vague calls for, and I quote, "action," end quote. Both of the candidates for the special election for the 19th congressional district seat used that word. Democrat Pat Ryan tweeted, and I quote, "10 days ago, we saw a horrific racist act of gun violence at a grocery store in Buffalo, and today we have yet another mass shooting at an elementary school in Texas. We need real action to end gun violence, and we need real leaders with a backbone to say enough is enough," end quote. His Republican opponent, Mark Molinaro, tweeted a similar message. He wrote, and I quote, "It is heartbreakingly clear we need action where our words have failed and consensus where contention has divided us. I believe we all have a role to play in finding solutions and rise to the challenge," end quote. Neither offered anything specific. Other politicians were even more vague. Representative Antonio Delgado, who resigned May 25th from the 19th Congressional District, tweeted, and I quote, "My heart is breaking for the parents, loved ones, fellow students, teachers, and every single person affected by the horrific and tragic shooting in Uvalde. Our kids should feel safe and secure when they go to school, to the grocery store, to the movies. We need change now," end quote. Republican Assembly Member Chris Teague, who represents Greene County and the 102nd District, did not call for any action at all. Teague tweeted, Tonight, the hearts of all New Yorkers and all Americans are with the victims, families, and first responders of the horrible tragedy that occurred today in Uvalde, Texas.
And that wraps up the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. For local weather reports, public meetings, and other community information, use the WGXC website, WGXC.org. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day.
And now here is your WGXC weather update. Your forecast for the next 2 days. Well, on Thursday, partly sunny with a high near 73 degrees. There will be isolated showers on Thursday night. It will be mostly cloudy with a temperature low of around 59 degrees. And on Friday, isolated showers and a possible thunderstorm after 2 p.m. It will be mostly cloudy with the temperature high near 77 degrees. And Friday night showers and possibly a thunderstorm mainly before 2 a.m. It will be cloudy with a temperature low of around 63 degrees. And that is your weather update from WGXC 90.7 FM radio for open ears in Greene and Columbia counties.
Thursday, May 26th, tune into all sorts of creative community voices on the air at 90.7 FM, including at 10 a.m. There's Jazz with Cheryl Kay on the Situation Fluxus show. Then we hear a quality mixtape on the Transformational Listening show at 11 a.m. Brad Monkel from Greenville has his Ear Candy show with local comedians and jazz musicians at noon after the local news. Then we've got two shows with news set to music. What's the Frequency? Kenneth at 2 p.m. and Turn on the News at 3 p.m. 7 p.m. it's time for Poet Radio from Chris Funkhauser. Then at 9 p.m. we're live from Toronto with Disco 3000 and Andrew O'Connor. And at 10 p.m. we're live from Hudson with Ted Barron, who has the Boogie Woogie Flu on 90.7 FM WGXC.
Get a local event mentioned on All Together Now. Go to WGXC.org and click on Add an Event at the top of the page. And copy and paste the information about your event in the boxes. Let's all get involved in our community. See what's going on at WGXC.org in the community calendar.
On June 17th, three bands come to Tubby's in Kingston. First, E, the trio of Jason Sidney Sanford, Thalia Zedek, and Gavin McCarthy play rock music. Alive Skull, the renowned 1980s post-punk experimental rock band, is back together and are playing on this show with Upper Wilds, who record for Thrill Jockey and feature multi-instrumentalist songwriter Dan Friel, who's best known for his work in the band Parts and Labor. E, Live Skull, and Upper Wilds play at Tubby's in Kingston June 17th, and you can find out more about this show and many others on the WGXC community calendar online at wgxc.org.
You're listening to Zach Poff's Pawn Station, available at wavefarm.org/listen. If you click on the listen button on any WGXC.org page, you can hear the sounds from the bottom of one of the Wave Farm ponds, thanks to the hydrophones Zach Poff has put there. The radio artist is surveilling the underwater sounds in Greene County, and you can go to wavefarm.org/listen or click on any WGXC.org page and click on the listen button to listen to transmissions from inside a Wave Farm pond from morning until sundown from Zach Poff's Pond Station.
Hello and welcome to the better weather for Thursday, May 26th. Early morning temperatures range from 50 degrees in Bushnellsville to 55 in Stockport. Soil temperature is back in the safe range, coming in at 61 degrees. Today will be windier than the last couple days, getting gusty between 12 and 4 p.m. A high of 72 happens at 3 p.m. Just before dark, some places will have a chance for rain that will continue all night as temperatures fall to 60 degrees just before dawn on Friday, which will have more rain that gets stronger and turns stormy in the afternoon. A high of 77 happens at 3 p.m. Overnight, rain keeps on going and the occasional thunderclap will be heard. A low of 64 happens just before dawn on Saturday, which looks like it's going to be rainy as well with a high of 75. Sunday, high of 80, and things finally dry out. Pollen levels for today will be high and look to calm to medium levels tomorrow. Today's tide schedule is high tide at 12:48 a.m., low tide at 7:21 a.m., high tide at 1:05 p.m., and low tide once again at 7:31 p.m. Today's river temperature will be 70 degrees. Sunset today will be at 8:04 p.m. and sunrise tomorrow will be at 5:22 a.m. Looking way up, we see an incoming coronal mass ejection could sideswipe our planet on Saturday or Sunday. Impacts are not expected to be heavy. Solar wind speed is currently 355 kilometers per second at 8.7 protons per milliliter. Radio propagation conditions are currently fair below 4 MHz still dark, then fair below 50 MHz overnight. The 24-hour predicted KP index is 2, quiet. The current sunspot number is 93. And this has been the Better Weather, brought to you by the Catskill Makers Syndicate.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Elizabeth LoJudas of Hanacroy, New York. Sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a WGXC sustaining supporter by investing in community radio every month. Go to WGXC.org and click donate. Thank you for your support.
Rock, 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 rock and roll.
Hi, this is Anya.
And this is Peter.
And we host a show called Rock and Roll High School.
On WGXC, first Monday of the month.
8 to 10 p.m. Tune in. Ooh.
We did it at the same time.
Yeah. Fun, fun, rock and roll.
We've got here is failure to communicate.
I've been demoralized too many times, but now I realize no more. Get me a gun. And all those people who put me down, you better get ready to run. 'Cause I'm gonna get me a gun. I know
like the sun. You see the best of me when I have got my gun. I'm gonna get me a gun. I'm gonna get me a gun. And those people who put me down, you better get ready to run. 'Cause I'm gonna get me a gun. So you think you can push me around and make me run? Well, I'm gonna tell you now, I'm gonna get me a gun. Get me a gun. And those people who put me down, you better get ready to run. 'Cause I'm gonna get me a gun.
Welcome to 2022 Talks, where we're following our democracy in historic times.
Sir, you are out of line. Sir, you are out of line. Please leave this auditorium.
Former Texas Congressman and Democratic gubernatorial candidate Beto O'Rourke interrupted a news conference where Texas Governor Greg Abbott was providing updates on the Uvalde Elementary School shooting. O'Rourke told the governor, "This is on you." 19 children and two teachers were killed by an 18-year-old gunman in Tuesday's school massacre. Former President Donald Trump is scheduled to speak at the National Rifle Association's annual leadership forum in Houston on Friday, but audience members won't be able to carry guns, according to the NRA. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer spoke on the Senate floor Wednesday, calling on Republicans to pass legislation to help end the country's plague of gun violence.
America's gun epidemic is unmatched by any of our peer nations in the world. No American is safe from it. And the American people are sick and tired of it.
More than half of teachers nationwide reported in a January National Education Association survey they will leave the profession sooner than they had planned. American Federation of Teachers President Randy Weingarten testified before a House Appropriations Subcommittee on teacher shortages and on schools as places to strengthen connections with families in the wake of the Texas school shooting.
And that's what teachers are thinking about. Not hardening schools, not arming themselves, but how we can create a safe, welcoming environment.
President Biden signed an executive order Wednesday to reform policing practices and establish a national database of police misconduct. Vice President Kamala Harris spoke to the families of George Floyd and Breonna Taylor.
Your loved ones should be with us today.
The order will create a new national database with records of federal officer misconduct and require federal law enforcement agencies to revise use of force policies, ban chokeholds, and restrict the use of no-knock warrants, two widely criticized tactics following the deaths of Floyd and Taylor. Top FDA officials faced tough questions from House lawmakers Wednesday on the agency's handling of the nation's ongoing baby formula shortage. Christopher Calamari, U.S. and Canada President at baby formula manufacturer Abbott Nutrition, testified.
I want to express our extraordinary disappointment about the shortage. We are deeply, deeply sorry. And we are committed to ensuring that this never happens again.
Abbott Nutrition says it plans to restart work at the Michigan plant at the heart of the formula recall next month. I'm Nadia Ramlagan for Pacifica Network and Public News Service. Find our 8 trust indicators to support transparency and accuracy at publicnewsservice.org.
I'm Tom Rue from Wave Farm, and this is the Daily Radio News. Inside Radio reports that National Public Radio host Terry Gross won this year's Peabody Institutional Award. Gross started in radio in 1973 at public radio station WBFO in Buffalo. In 1975, she moved to WHYY in Philadelphia as producer and host of Fresh Air, which was then a local daily interview and music program. In 1985, WHYY expanded a weekly half-hour edition of the show nationally by NPR. Fresh Air became a daily one-hour show in 1987. The show became the first non-drive time show in public radio history to reach more than 5 million listeners weekly in the fall of 2008. Here's Stephen Colbert introducing Gross for the award.
There's nothing out there quite like Fresh Air with Terry Gross. It began as a local program in 1975 on WHYY in Philadelphia, but now it celebrates 35 years as a daily national broadcast. This NPR staple is where many of us come for some of the most insightful interviews anywhere. Over the decades, it's become a place where artists, musicians, actors, directors, playwrights, authors, poets, showrunners, talk show hosts open up about their work, their process, and their life. The show is co-executive produced by Danny Miller and directed by Roberta Shurrock, but it is host and co-executive producer Terry Gross who's front and center. Her sultry voice and impish laugh are unmistakable, iconic even. Over the years, Terry has perfected a singular kind of interview. She's part conversationalist, part therapist, and part oral historian. She effortlessly brings out the unexpected in her guests. Above all, she's a great listener, attentive and probing without ever feeling intrusive.
Vegan is that bad, Siatnikovi. Vegan is that bad, Siatnikovi. Vegan is that bad, Siatnikovi. Eva, can I stab bats in a cave? 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 Vegan is that bad, Siatnikovi. Vegan is that bad, Siatnikovi. Vegan is that bad, Siatnikovi. We'll be right back.
Next, we have an interview from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
Hi, this is Bria Barthel for Hudson Mohawk Magazine. And today I'm delighted to be talking with a frequent guest, Renee Powell, the president of the NAACP Troy branch. Renee, welcome back.
Oh, thank you, Bria. It's a pleasure to be back.
And we're talking today because you have a program coming up on recognizing and responding to hate crimes. Can you tell us a little bit about this?
Certainly. So we have monthly general meetings, which is held on the fourth Thursday of every month. And we try to have guest speakers. And this month, our guest speaker will be Brian Jacobs, who is a supervisory agent with the FBI, who's going to speak to us about hate crimes and how to report the incidents. In light of what's been happening recently in the news, I thought this was very appropriate to present to the community. And so he was gracious enough and had the time to present this information to us.
Now, the FBI would come into it because hate crimes are considered federal offenses, right?
That is correct. It was recently passed. The law was recently passed that hate crimes are now a federal offense and they will be charged as such. And so now the key is to make sure that these incidents are documented appropriately and that we understand what a hate crime is.
So even though there are federal offenses, depending on what's happening, it could also be a local offense. So do you know if it's recommended that you report both to the local police and to the FBI?
Yes, it is recommended that you report to both. You know, and I looked at some of the statistics for hate crimes in the state of New York. And in 2020, we had approximately 488 hate incidents reported. And of those 488 incidents reported, 223 of those incidents were against people, and then 265 were against property. And going back to the 223 that were against people, 25% of those incidents were against Black people. And so I dug a little deeper and tried to find out what was happening in our area in Rensselaer County. And what I found was that there were no incidents reported, officially documented. However, as president of the Troy branch of the NAACP, I get calls constantly about incidents that are happening. And so it is so important that we have this session here so that we can document these things appropriately and have them recorded so that we can do something about it. You know, we have all of these shootings that are going on related to hate crime. And if we do our part and understand how to do our part, I think that will be part of the solution to curbing some of the gun violence that we're experiencing today.
Now, the Buffalo shooting, I'm sure, is on everybody's mind. But when we're talking hate crimes, we're not talking necessarily anything as dramatic and overwhelmingly awful as that. It can be smaller issues as well, right?
Yes, exactly. Some of the incidents that have been reported to me, which really hurts my heart, has been against children. And these are school-age kids and dealing with the school system. And so one of my goals is to arm the parents with knowledge so that they know how to protect their children. And in protecting their children, they're protecting the community. And so this is, for me, this is very important that we accomplish that so that we don't experience these incidents like what happened in Buffalo at the grocery store. Or we can even go back further, Sandy Hook, you know, that kind of thing. Just you know, one thing at a time, a little bit at a time, I think we can get this thing accomplished and conquered. But it's not going to be a, you know, one-act solution to solving the problem. It's a continuation and a build-on to solving this problem.
Now, I was looking at the NAACP general website and saw that they had a response to Buffalo plan that included calling for the Centers for Disease Control to be able to research and document gun violence, research and document these kinds of crimes. I was reminded, not surprised, but reminded that they have been absolutely forbidden to monitor this. And yet it seems that it's one of the largest, if you will, health risks facing us these days. I mean, obviously, besides the pandemic. Do you have any comment about that?
I consider this part of a mental health issue. It is a issue that is affecting the community. It is a health issue. And so I am in full support of the national calling for the monitoring of gun violence, the gun shootings, just to get a better handle on, you know, what's happening, what's the trigger. Why are people feeling the need to do these heinous crimes, you know, against defenseless people, you know, the children, the elderly, people who are not armed? We're not, I assume, and I know that I am not living in a war zone, but I'm being treated as though I'm living in a war zone. I'm living a life feeling that I'm in a war zone. And that is not what, you know, America's about.
Hopefully it won't be about it. It is what it's about right now. Hopefully it won't be about it. Now, I want to go back. You had started out with some statistics about 223 hate crimes against people in New York State and another 250 some against property. So when we're talking hate crimes, it isn't just gun violence, it's direct attacks. What kinds of incidents might count as hate crimes?
We're talking about what I want to say, like bodily harm, you know, fighting, destroying people's property, oppression types of activities, such as barring someone from having access to rights that they should have, such as financing, housing, those types of things.
So inequality and housing issues, those could also be counted as hate crimes, depending on how blatant it is?
That is correct, yes.
So I see we only have a minute left. So again, recognizing and responding to hate crimes with a guest from the FBI talking about the issues. And the date again?
The date is May 26th, that's Thursday, at 6:30. And it is a virtual meeting. And you can find the link to that meeting on our Facebook page. And that's at the NAACP Troy, New York.
All one word?
All one word, yes.
Okay, so the NAACP Troy, New York Facebook page for information on the May 26th meeting, 6:30 to 8. And you mentioned that this is your member meeting. Is the session open to anyone?
Yes, our general meetings are open to everyone. And we encourage people to chime in, dial in, find out what's going on, and also consider becoming a member.
Okay, well, Renee, thank you for everything that you're doing in Troy and beyond. Thank you for taking time to talk with me. And I'm sorry that hate crimes are such an incredibly pervasive issue in our society, but given that they are, thank you for your help in spreading the word about how people can recognize and respond to them. Good talking with you.
Thank you, Bria.
That interview was from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org. We'll be right back.
This is Tom Rowe in Acro with the WGXC Renewable Weather Report. The National Weather Service in Albany says it's going to be partly sunny on Thursday with a high of 71 and a south wind 8 to 13 miles per hour. Thursday night should be mostly cloudy with a chance of isolated showers between 2 and 4 a.m., a low around 58. Friday, the forecast is a 70% chance of scattered showers, possibly a thunderstorm after 2 p.m., cloudy skies, a high of 74, and wind from the south 5 to 10 miles per hour in the morning. Friday night, south wind 8 to 10 miles per hour is forecast, with a low around 61, and showers and possibly a thunderstorm are predicted, a 90% chance. Saturday, again, there's a 60% chance of rain and possibly a thunderstorm. Then it turns partly sunny with a high of 73 and a low around 55. You're listening to the radio, WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, Hudson, solar-powered radio for open ears.
$6 in my hand. Up to Lexington, 125. Feel sick and dirty, more dead than alive. I'm waiting for my man. Hey, white boy, what you doing uptown? Boy, you chasing all women around. Oh, pardon me, sir, it's
Welcome to Blackboard Jungle. So don't you fumble, just be humble.
Okay.